If you have your Bible with you, I'm looking at Mark chapter 16. I'm going to begin speaking at verse 15. I have a parallel scripture as well that we'll be looking at, so you might want to stick your thumb or your forefinger in Luke 10, where Jesus is sending out the 70. So that again was Mark chapter 16. We're going to start at verse 15. This is kind of taking a step off of what Pastor Dan preached last Sunday. He preached about the Holy Spirit and the things that hinder us from the Holy Spirit. I'm going to talk to you about the last words that Jesus gave to us, the church. It's right after he spoke these words, he was taken up into heaven. This is his last words to us, and I think we need to pay attention to them. Verse 15, and he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. These signs will accompany those who have believed. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will pick up serpents, and if they drink any deadly poison, it shall not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover." There's power in what Jesus just said here. And said there'd be a parallel verse, and looking over at Luke 10, Jesus sent out 70 in his name, and he told them to go out and to preach, "The kingdom of God has come upon you." I'm going to jump down just for sake of time. I won't read the whole chapter of what happened there, but when the 70 returned, verse 17 says this, "The 17 returned with joy, saying, 'Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name.' And he said to them, 'I was watching Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Behold, I've given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will injure you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice in that your names are recorded in heaven.' At that very time, he rejoiced greatly in the Holy Spirit." I've often tried to get a mental image of what this looks like. The 70 have come back, and they are pumped. They have seen what the power of God can do. They are really excited. And Jesus is saying, "But it's still about my relationship with you." And then he says this, in joy to the Holy Spirit, "I praise you, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for this was well-pleasing in your sight." Jesus was thrilled about what was going on. And I don't know of any other place, I can't think of any off the top of my head, where Jesus is recorded as saying he greatly rejoiced. And so something good was happening here when these men went out. And we have been commanded, just like them, to go and do the same thing. And so I want to talk to you this morning about what happens here when we go out. And what is going on? You see, I've titled this message this morning, "In the Name of Jesus." And I want us to get a hold of what it means to be in Jesus, in the name of Jesus. What should be happening? Should we be downcast? Should we be beaten up? I'm going to tell you this morning that that's not what I see. I see people full of power. I see people full of joy. I see things happening in the spiritual realm as Satan's power is broken, as we go in the name of Jesus. And Jesus said, "In my name," in Mark 16, 17, "in my name to go out. In my name they will cast out demons. In my name they will speak with new tongues." This is something that the world wants to rob from the believer of Jesus Christ, is the gift of tongues. Because Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, "Wait for me and afterwards you will receive." Oh, we got to try that again. "After this, wait for me and you will receive
power."
We need power. How many of you would say amen to that besides Judy B? We need power. I heard you, Judy. That's why I picked on you. I wanted that amen. We need power. You know, sometimes we say, you know, we say our little prayers, and we've been taught since Sunday school, when we're done praying, we say this, and in the name of Jesus, I pray, amen. And we use it like a little mantra. It's just something that you tag on at the end of the prayer. It means we're wrapping it up. But that is not what it was meant to be. It was a statement of power and authority given to you through Jesus Christ. When you say in the name of Jesus, it should have something rattling down the gates of hell. You should be thundering on the ears of your enemy. In the name of Jesus, I take authority over you, Satan, because God gave it to me. And believe it. Philippians 2, 9 to 11. Therefore, God also highly exalted him. This is Jesus. And bestowed on him the name which is above every other name. So that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. Not maybe. It will bow. And those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, even the dead, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. In the name of Jesus, there is coming a moment where we know that there will be no denying the name of Jesus and the power that is carried with it. That day is coming, but believers, I'm telling you that you should not be waiting for that day. It has been revealed to you through Jesus Christ. That day is now for you. Jesus Christ is Lord, and he has all authority. Colossians 3:17. Whatever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to him through God the Father. One day, Peter and John were walking in. You can read this later in Acts chapter 3. They're walking into the temple. And there's a man there that's lame, and he's begging for money. And he wants people, when they're coming by, he's hoping that the believers in God will have compassion, because God's word says very clearly that we are to have compassion on the poor and the sick. And he's hoping that these are the people that will be obedient to God's word and will put money in his cup as they walk by. And Peter is walking in there with John, and they see this man, and he's asking for money. It's interesting what Peter says. He says, "Look at us. Look at us. Pay attention over here." He says, "I don't have any money. I don't have any money. But look at me. What I do have, I thank you. I am going to give you." And he says that, "In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, get up and walk." He had no qualms about saying this to this man. Now, put yourself in his shoes. You're walking in. This has never been done before. You have nothing to go by. You have no example to set here. And you're going to come up to somebody and you're going to say, "In the name of Jesus, get up and walk." How many of you are already shrinking back in your spirit? Do I get a witness at least? I would shrink back in my spirit. I'm going to be honest with you, and I'm the one preaching this. I would shrink back because I, in my experiences, have taught me that I'm not always going to get an answer to prayer. And so I've begun to doubt because of those negative experiences and those times where I have prayed my heart out and I did not get what I wanted and my spirit was broken and my faith was shattered. And I'm going to tell you something, we need to get over it. We need to rise up, and I'm jumping ahead a little bit, because I want to talk to us about faith. But in the name of Jesus, that lame man got up and he was leaping and jumping. And do you know what happened? Because he said, "In the name of Jesus, get up and walk." They got mad. The priests in that temple got very upset about that. I know, we kind of go, why? Because they were nervous about the name of Jesus. And so they called them forward and they says, we just are telling you now, you stop preaching in the name of Jesus. You see, what happened here is after that man got up and was leaping around and they said, "Well, how did this happen? And whose name did this happen?" And they took that opportunity and they began to preach Jesus Christ and the power of the cross. And there was a revival that broke out. And so the priests were upset about that because they're the ones that put him on the cross. And so, yeah, they're not too happy. And they said to him, stop preaching in the name of Jesus. And you know what they said. Not gonna happen. We'll do what God tells us to do. And if he says preach in the name of Jesus, then preach in the name of Jesus we shall. I like that kind of courage. I like it. Jesus preached this. Preach this. This is from Jesus. If you want, I've already got your fingers all over the place in your Bible. Stick a bulletin in one of those spots. John 14, go to verse 12. John 14, 12, because there's two words in there I want you to catch. Two words, because I'm telling you, sometimes our faith is shaken and we start to doubt because we don't get everything we want. Starting at verse 12, there's two words. Truly, truly. How many of you guys have truly, truly? What do you got? I tell you the truth. What was the other one? Most assuredly. All good. All good. I'm glad we got some translations here. Get it? I'm telling you the truth. Most assuredly, truly, truly. If it was written in today's vernacular and our teens had anything to do with it, they'd go, really, really? I'm saying to you, thank you, John. I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will also do, and greater works than he will do, because I go to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You ask me anything in my name. Ask me anything in my name, and I will do it. Really, really. In the name of Jesus. I'm not going to spend time going into the reasons we don't get answers to prayer, because I do not want you to start there. If you don't get an answer to prayer, you can certainly finish there. You can certainly go to God and say, God, what's going on? Did I miss your will? Did I miss your heart? Was this something that had to happen? Is this something I got to go through? You can end there, but don't start there. Don't start with, why am I not getting an answer to my prayer? And sometimes we think we're not getting an answer when we're getting an answer because we don't see it. And that's going back to faith. I'm still jumping ahead. I keep jumping right into that one. We need to start with faith in the name of Jesus Christ. Do I get a win? Amen. There's another thing, though. It started off with what I said. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved. Mark 16:15, our original text. It starts with a relationship with Jesus Christ. It starts there. When the 70 returned, they were with joy and saying, oh, even the demons are subject to us. And Jesus said, ah, yes. He didn't say not to be happy about that. But what he's saying is more happy that your names are written in heaven. Our joy is in the Lord Jesus Christ and our relationship with him. You see, it's out of this relationship with Jesus Christ. That's where we get infused with this power. It's not a mantra in the name of Jesus. It's about being infused with the power of God through a relationship. The seven sons of Sceva, how you all probably know this, but I'm going to tell it anyway. They were trying to cast out demons. They'd watched the disciples do it. And guess what? The disciples were doing it in the name of Jesus. That's obvious because they were trying to copy it. And they were going, in the name of Jesus, we command you to come out. And the demon says to him, I recognize Jesus. I know about Paul. Who are you? And they tore them apart. They tore them apart. They tore their clothes off. They beat them up, bloody and bruised and beaten. These priests were running out of the temple because they were doing it without the relationship. We need to stay plugged into a power source. I have an iPhone. I love my iPhone. Don't get me wrong. I love my iPhone, but its battery life, it bites. And I always have to have a power source around for my iPhone, because I'll run out of power. And I need it to stay plugged in. It has to be plugged in. And without that power source, my phone dies. Believers, we need to stay plugged in. when you cut yourself off from God, you cut yourself off from your power source. It's that simple. Not that you're going to lose your salvation. I'm not talking about that. I am talking about power in prayer. And by the way, to have power in prayer, you also got to have prayer. It just stands to reason. Yeah, stay plugged in. Get plugged into his word. I'll tell you what, your knowledge about God comes from two places. What you hear preached to you, which is through the word of man, preaching hopefully the word of God, but you can hear heresy. And your other source of information about God is here, the scriptures. You need to be plugged in. This is where you're going to find out what God is saying about things. This is where you're going to get your help. This is where you're going to get your leadership and your confidence. And you're going to say, the Bible says this. And so I am going to pray what the Bible says. And I am not going to go by what anyone else is saying or doing. We need to be plugged in. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. We've got to be plugged in and have our relationship with God. I'm not saying this to boast. I'm saying this to encourage you. But every morning I get up, and for the first 2 hours of my morning, I sit with my Bible on my lap, and I read. And while I read, I pray. Sometimes I do more praying than reading. Sometimes I do more reading than praying. But I'm in the presence of God while I'm doing it all. Reading my Bible is not something I do as a chore. It's something I do while I'm spending time with God. It is holy time. It is God time. And I let him talk to me through his word. I let him talk to me through his spirit. But without that, I would be so lost and so torn apart. I can't even begin to even think about it because it would hurt too much. It's through our relationship with God. Our relationship with God is through his word. Our relationship with God is through his spirit. That's where we receive our power. Remember back in the days, and now I'm kind of talking like an old-timer here. Pardon me, forgive me. But even here, we had these days where an evening service that lasted till 10 or 11 o'clock at night, those were the good ones. We didn't rush out of here. We didn't let the cares of this life choke out the fruit of the Spirit. We waited on God. We waited on God at the altars. The most powerful answers to prayer and the most powerful times I remember with God were kneeling at an altar while the Holy Spirit waiting for God to come because I knew he was gonna. I knew he was gonna, and I was gonna wait there until he did. And then when he did, then things began to happen in the real world as well as the spiritual world, but the spiritual world first, and then the real world came after. Sometimes that spiritual world was right here in my heart. Something had to happen here so that I could overcome a sin in my life. Rather than trying to shut down that sin through what I wish, I went after it the other direction. I came at it through my heart. And then the heart was changed, and then the behavior changed. A lot of times we try to correct the behavior and hope the heart catches up. We have to spend that time with God. We have to have that relationship with God. The disciples were on the boat. They just watched Jesus feed like thousands of people with a little lunch. Pretty impressive miracle, little bit carnal, wouldn't you say? Little carnal, but people need to eat. God knows that. But God was showing us something when he did that. He was showing us that he can do anything he wants, whenever he wants. We worry about the bread, but he's not worried about that. You see, they get on the boat and they're floating along and now there's no going back to the store. Not that they had one. There's no going back. And Jesus says to them, beware the leaven of the Pharisees. And right away, they go right to the carnal thinking, and they're thinking, oh, we forgot bread. Ah, I do that. I get home. I live 10 kilometers out of town. I get home, and as soon as I pull in the driveway and put the thing in park, and then I go, oh, I forgot. And then I remember it was something that I forgot to pick up at the store. They did that. We forgot bread. Ah, he's mad. We messed up. And Jesus is saying, ah, really? Having eyes you see and ears you don't hear. It's not about the bread. Didn't you see I can make bread? I could do bread with anything. Give me a rock. I'll make you a loaf of bread. It's not about the bread. But we are very wrapped up in the carnal. We are very concerned about the carnal. And God wants us to wake up and realize it's not about the bread. It's about the spiritual issues that God is concerned. And I'm wondering, do we pray more for the bread than we do the spiritual issues? God can take care of that stuff. But we, our hearts and our minds and our time should be more absorbed in the spiritual than in the physical. And we need this passion of love and relationship with God. We need to be concerned about our relationship with God more than we are concerned about what we're having for lunch. I was worried when I looked at the clock and I thought, ooh, am I going to have time to preach this? So that's why I'm talking so fast. But then you know what? Here I am. I'm preaching to you. We got to be more concerned about the spiritual. I'm worried that you're not going to get to lunch on time. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Pastor Dan, I thought you were going to preach my sermon for a minute there when you started talking. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Where there is strength, there is power. Where I find somebody who has a relationship with Jesus Christ that is passionate and alive. You ever notice when those people pray for you, you really feel things? It's a true statement. People who are connected to God have that strength and that faith and power from God. Now, I'm passionate about my violin. I'm passionate about God, by the way, just so you should think it's not all about my violin. I put in practice time. And while I'm practicing, I'm not playing easy stuff. I'm playing stuff that's harder for me to do than what I'm capable of doing. That way I learn and I grow. I'm always learning new things. And when I learn something new, I work on it. I work on it. I learn it over and over and over again. And I perfect it. And that's how our relationship needs to be with God. We need to put time into this relationship. We need to be learning, constantly working on what we're doing with that knowledge and putting it into practice and perfecting our soul day by day. So, we need to have confidence in the name of Jesus. We need to have confidence in our relationship with Jesus Christ. And we need to have confidence, which is our faith. Now, verse 17 of our text says this of Mark 16, "These signs will accompany those who have believed." There needs to be a faith that believes that this is going to happen. Now, faith is a kind of a big subject. And I said earlier, when we pray, we need to start with faith. If something happens to shake your faith, you're going to go through a growing process. Don't shrink back. Grow from it. Can I say that again? When you don't get an answer to prayer, don't shrink back in your faith, but grow from it. Learn something from that experience. Everything that happens to you, this is how incredible our God is. He makes every snowflake different. Everything that happens to you, you personally, I don't care about the rest of the world, you personally, God is allowing that in your life to shape you and to grow you and to mature you in Him. So even the things that you don't get an answer to prayer, God is allowing that in your life to cause you to grow. So often we shrink back, we lose our confidence and our faith in God, and we're hurt, we're disappointed. But when you pray, you do not start there. When you pray, you start with faith in God. God shall do this thing. And if you don't get that answer, then you start looking at the whys. But I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes we think we don't get the answers because they didn't happen 5 minutes after we prayed. Can I get an amen? Some answers take time. How many of you here are praying for a lost one? I should see every hand. You do not quit praying for that lost one because you're not seeing the answer. My mom prayed for me for 2 years. She didn't get as much as a phone call, except she didn't know I was calling, but I just checked to see if she was still, like, on earth because I was afraid she'd get raptured, so I'd hang up. I didn't talk to her for 2 years. But every night, while I was away from the Lord, while I was walking in sin, every night, when I laid down my head on the pillow, I began to feel a holy terror. I began to feel a fear that I was going to go to hell, that if Christ returned and the rapture took place, I was not going, because in my heart I knew where I stood with God, and it was not right. And there was a holy terror. I'm going to tell you what. That was because my mom was praying for me. She was praying that the Holy Spirit would be getting a hold of me every day of my life and every minute. When I would turn on the radio and I would hear a preacher on the radio, something happened in me. And in fact, I'll just give a little more of my testimony. We were cleaning our carpets, and it was shag carpet. And back in the day, yeah, when you shampooed a shag carpet, you didn't walk on it for a couple hours. And we didn't have remote control back then either. It was pull on the knob, push off the knob, turn the channel, pit, 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 pit. And I got stuck in a corner, and I couldn't get to the TV. It was in the other side of the room. Yes, I did that. I shampooed myself into a corner. Maybe God cornered me. While I'm sitting there, Billy Graham came on the television set and began to preach right to me. Isn't that like God? I'm going to tell you what. That would not have happened, I believe, if my mother had not been praying for me. You see, you think your prayers are doing nothing because you don't see it. What does Hebrews say? Faith is the assurance of things hoped for. And Romans says hope does not disappoint. The conviction of things not seen. You see, if you have to see the answer before you believe God is going to do it, your faith is already blown up in your face. That answer is not evidence of your faith. Your perseverance and your belief in the hardest part of your heart that says, I am going to believe God for this and I am not going to give up. James 1, 6 to 7 says, he of us ask in faith without doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord. What does that mean? He's like the man driven and tossed by the wind. That means the storm controls you. You are being driven and pushed around by circumstances and not driven and pushed around by the word of God. When you are solid in your faith in God, the storm can blow around you, but you will not give up. You will persevere in faith and believe God for that answer, even if you're not seeing it. You will persevere. You have no idea what God is doing. Why do we put God on a timeline and said he has to do it this fast? Prayer is a work. I know very few people that one day heard the gospel and instantly became a solid believer in Jesus Christ. My experience is that most people go through what I would call a bit of a history, a bit of a journey on their faith in Jesus Christ. Things happened from their childhood. They start to tell you all these pinnacle moments where God has been dealing with them all along, and then they finally submit to the power of God, and they're so glad that they did. It's been a journey. And so we think, oh, I prayed and nothing happened. Or here's the other one. I prayed and it got worse. That never happened, right? Can I tell you something? If you prayed and it got worse, just go, hallelujah! I shook the enemy. Because he is not going to upset you. He wants to discourage you. You are shaking him out of his tree. You're picking a fight with him. Amen? If you pick a fight with somebody, you can expect to get hit. That doesn't mean you give up. Does it? It means you dig in and you start fighting with everything because you found him, you found the enemy, and you poked him, and you're pushing him. I liken to this like a football game. I love football. Thank you, Dan, for sharing that wonderful sport with me. I didn't even know about it until I met Dan. But I'm going to tell you what, there's guys in that front line, and all they do is run into the guy in front of them and push. Like, it's just nuts. And I realized that without those guys stopping the attackers, the guy who's supposed to catch the ball, because they figured out who's going to get it, they're all going to run over and jump on that poor guy before he even gets the ball. And you see, sometimes we think it should all be these fantastic touchdown moments. There's not that many in a game. There's a lot of plays, but there's not a lot of touchdown moments where that ball flies through the air and lands in his hands and he just runs across the goal line. It's beautiful. Yay! We want every prayer to be like that. But what it really is you are pushing at the enemy. You are going head to head with the enemy so that we can make a touchdown. And play after play after play, you don't give up. You keep pushing the enemy. If you are not pushing the enemy, you're not in the game. You need to be pushing. Elisha told King Joash as he was dying, he said, King Joash, take some arrows and strike the ground. Strike it. So Joash took the arrows that Elisha handed him and he, 1, 2, 3. And he goes back to Elisha. And Elisha was angry. He was angry. It says that. Go back. 2 Kings chapter 13, verses 18, 19. Elisha was very angry and said, you should have kept striking the ground. Now your enemy's going to win. You might think, well, why was he angry? Well, I'm going to tell you something. This was a prophetic anger. It was an anger addressing a weakness of that king. And he said, you know, to him, you should have kept striking the ground. You would have beat the enemy. If you'd have kept striking the enemy, you would have beat him, but you quit. And so often in prayer, we have the same sin in us, this lack of perseverance. And we quit striking the ground. We quit striking the enemy. And we lose because we don't persevere in prayer. Because we think it should have happened already. Because if all the faith I had, it should have happened. You do not know how many times you've got to poke that enemy to move him. What day is that victory going to happen? You don't know that. You're not God. You're not called to know that. You're called to persevere and do it in the name of Jesus with prayer. Ephesians 6:18, pray with all petition at all times in the Spirit. That means don't give up. With this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance. Don't give up. And petition for all the saints. You see, faith, real faith, in the name of Jesus, built out of a relationship with Jesus Christ, never gives up. It doesn't need the answer. In fact, when you get the answer, get something new to pray about. Amen? Get something new. Go after it, another spot. You won. God in prayer says, I am calling my people to me to renew their confidence in my name, to renew their relationship with him, to renew your faith in God. And when God is calling you, that means very personal. Kendra, you're going to come. Just play softly. We need to take time. I tried and I succeeded. We have 5 minutes. You weren't expecting to get out of here till 12. I want you to spend 5 minutes. And I want you to search your hearts in those 5 minutes. Do you have confidence in the name of Jesus? Or do you start with why he's not going to answer this prayer before you've even prayed it? Is that you? If that's you, you need to deal with that. You need to talk to God and say, Lord, I want to have confidence in your name. I'm not going to start with why I'm not getting my answer. I want confidence in your name. What is your relationship like with God? Are you spending time with him? Because I'm going to tell you, if you're not, you're going to be driven around and tossed. You're going to get pushed around. It's called divide and conquer. The enemy wants to separate you from your feelings of a relationship with God. You're connecting to the power, and he wants you to be running on a dead battery. He wants you to renew your faith in God. You had prayers that maybe didn't get answered. God says, have faith in me. Trust me. I'm going to tell you what, when you don't get those answers, it's hard. It is super hard. You feel like God betrayed you and he let you down, but he did not. Let everything else be a lie and God be true, Job said after losing everything. Maybe you're here this morning and you want to renew that relationship with Jesus Christ. I want every head in this room bowed. I do not want one single eye open. I do not want one single person looking around. If you're here this morning and you say, I need that relationship with Jesus Christ, maybe you've never made that decision, slide your hand in the air. I want to pray for you right now. I'm not going to make you embarrassed. I just want you to slide your hand in the air and say, that's me. Do you need that relationship renewed? Slide that hand in the air. I'm going to pray for you right now. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. Heavenly Father, you've seen, Lord, the hearts of your people. Lord, we want to live biblical lives. And so many times our experiences have shattered that. And Lord, for those who said, I want to have that relationship renewed with you, I pray that this morning your Holy Spirit, even right now, because they had the courage to put that hand up, Lord, move on them by your Holy Spirit right where they are sitting right now, Lord. Lord, we need to have that confidence in you. We need that relationship with you. And we need, Lord, to begin to pray in your name. So I pray, God, that you will stir in us this morning a broad, wide confidence in you. And Lord, if there are some here that have gotten cold, renew them in your relationship. I know that this is your desire, that we be a church. We're going to sing that song. Just while some of you can stay in prayer, I don't want to disrupt that. But this is a statement of faith. This is a statement of faith. Slower. He